Blog Talk
Hey,
Radio.
Everybody. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Dr. Harris's Black Lives Matter show. We're experiencing some technical difficulties, and so we were a little late with the call-in, but Dr. Harris is going to be with all of you momentarily. I do see we have somebody on hold. I'm going to see if I can click in 3156, and Dr. Harris is going to be with you shortly. Hang on. Oh, I think I see him. Hold on. Dr. Harris.
Hey, hey, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hey.
One more time. I apologize to everybody. Man, the Wi-Fi was not working where I was at, and I'm trying to call all over the country and see if I can get someone
okay,
to hook
well,
me
we...
up. And...
Well, you've got a caller on right now. You've got 3156. Let me see if I can connect it for you. Did you want to talk some more before I do this?
Yeah, let me just give a shout-out to a few people across the country. We here in Mississippi, Fresno, we had our West Fresno Democratic meeting, executive board meeting tonight. Felt that the meeting went very well. We're mobilizing and organizing here in Fresno. Mississippi, Fresno. On the West Coast in California, we are moving and grooving, bobbing and weaving like Muhammad Ali say, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, and can't nobody mess with me. And that's how we're doing it right now. We know that the black man and the black woman is under siege here in Fresno. We're living in the 10th worst city in the country right now as black people here. We have the highest concentration of poverty here. In Fresno, California, and I believe everybody is counting black people off right now. I think that we're going to have to change the narrative right now. I see some daylight. I see some new faces out on the front line. We got to hold the front line because our young people depend on us right now. And
that's
so we got the Freedom School going strong. We're getting ready to start getting ready for our spring crop. We had a good winter season, good summer season,
yep.
So we're getting ready to do it all over again. And so to all those freedom fighters across the country, all the political prisoners that we still have in prison, just want to thank you for all your dedication and commitment for the struggle of our people. You know, tonight, I mean, we're going to have a show on this, but, you know, I was reading some laws that Virginia passed back in the day in the 1600s. And I tell you, what I read tonight was very disturbing to me. And we're going to have a show on that because this is Black History Month. But just to give a disclaimer out there, every day is Black History, 365 days
That's
a year,
right.
7 days a week, 24 hours a
black
day.
Black history is American
it's
history.
Always
That's
Black
right.
History. And I have people, I have somebody tell me on Facebook that all lives matter. Well, you know, tell you something, charity starts at home. I hope your life matter, because I know mine matter. But the problem is, black lives never did really matter in this country.
Exactly.
Brought us over here on boats, who made us work on plantations from sun up to sundown, the lashes and the whips that we got, the mother's babies were cut out of their stomach, and the plantation master took the heel of his shoe and bashed the baby head in the ground. You want to tell me all lives matter? Well, black lives matter. When Black Wall Street was destroyed, 36 blocks of economic money circulating in our community. Black lives matter in 1921. Nat Turner, did black lives matter then? We had our black sisters who were being raped. Used as toys
That's
and sex it. Toys. Did black lives matter then? Well, I don't think so. It didn't matter then, because if you look at all of the barbaric treatment that black people have been receiving in this country, here we are in 2019, and people want to tell me all lives matter. Well, I hope so. But black lives
History
never mattered
hasn't proven
in this country.
That.
And so, you know, we just saying right now, we grabbing a bull by the horn. We saying Black Lives Matter. The Harris Black Lives Matter show is so, so important. This is your radio show. It's not mine. It's yours. This give you a voice, give you a platform, give you an opportunity to come and speak your piece. Everybody know me. I speak truth to power. I'm unapologetic about it, to be a black man right now. The Black Panther Party, did their lives matter, Sister Allie, back in the 1960s?
Yes, they did.
I don't think so. Because the FBI and went out to assassinate all of them.
Yeah, and they did.
For no reason. All because these were college educated. These were students who were educated from college. And Malcolm X said it best. Ali said, what the white man did wrong, let me read his history book. And so that's the Black
Panther
Party did. They read the Constitution. They understood that they had the right to bear arms. The right to
bear
arms. Because they were getting assassinated by those wicked pig cops in Oakland. And so they just went down to the gun store like any other American and bought them some guns.
And bought them some ammo.
Okay? And they just stood out in front of their headquarters with their guns on saying, hey, you know, we're going to protect our black women. We're going to protect our black children. We're going to protect our community. But look what happened.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan, who white folks say is one of the best presidents they ever had in America. Ronald Reagan was the ones who went and stripped and raped the constitutional right for black people to carry arms in this country. And look what happened.
He was a governor of California then.
All of the Black Panther Party. So we give a shout out to the Black Panther Party, to all of those who have passed on, Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seale, all of them who were the leaders and all the followers.
Fred Hampton.
Fred Hampton,
Bobby
and
Clark.
All of them.
Yes.
Bobby Clark and you know, the list just goes on. Angela Davis,
yes,
you know, they're up in age right now. But you can never take away the legacy that they have done for our people. And I just want to start the show out. We're going to be talking about on Facebook right now of the, I believe it was in Atlanta, where we had some teachers who allowed for black history using black faces. With our little baby.
Right.
And so let's go ahead and open up the lines and see what folks got to say tonight.
It looks like 3156. I'm going to click on this and see if anybody's there. 3156, are you with us?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. This is, this is Minister Keys. How you doing tonight?
Good. I'm going to let Rev go ahead and take this because he sounds like he's fired up and ready to go.
Dr. Keys, how you doing there, sir?
Oh, I'm blessed tonight, my brother. I would like to, if you will, let me read the First Amendment of the Constitution. And,
yes, sir.
It says, Congress shall make no law respecting and establishing of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Well, why did I want to read that? Well, because we need to know that. There are some people that don't know that. That when we look at what's happening to Colin Kaepernick, we see that his rights were violated because he was peacefully showing his right, exercising his right to speak. So now, getting back to the blackface, I read something today on the internet where it said police officers in Baltimore were putting on blackface, going to the drug areas and selling supposedly cocaine, which was just chalk.
Right.
And so blackface is, yes, blackface is nothing new. There's wow. we could go back in history and see that this was done quite often. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I thought I'd share that with you today, Doctor.
Oh, thank you so much. That's what the radio show is for. You can never take up too much time on our radio show, because we built this radio show for the airwaves, for our people. We want our people to have a voice. We want our people to understand that they have a right to be at the. We want our people to understand that they are Americans under the United States of America, and that you will not be silenced. You will not be silenced by any means necessary. And so it takes strong leadership like you, Pastor Keys, to call in tonight, to read that Constitution, to let people know that there are pastors out here in the community that's willing to stand up. There's pastors out here in the community who take their time out today. I mean, you could be up in the bed, laying down, watching television, watching a football game, basketball game. You could be doing anything right now, but you dedicated this time, this hour, so that you could come to empower your people, that you could come and uplift your people, to let them know that you are somebody, that your ancestors was somebody, and that your ancestors paved the way for you to be here, for us to be here today, and they have passed the baton to us. We cannot sit here. I look at this race right now. I look at this race right now, this race of justice right now, like a relay. I can take it so far, and then I give you the baton, and then you take it some more, like a 100-yard dash, and then you pass that baton to the next person, and then that person over there take it a little bit more, and then we might slow up a little bit, but you know what? We got that anchor in the back. That anchor's the one who's supposed to catch up, and that's why we're catching up right now, Pastor Keys. We're unapologetic right now about where we at right now. Good, bad, or indifferent. We're going to take ownership of everything right now. Yes, the white man has done things to us. Yes, the white man has lynched us. Yes, the white man has tortured us. But you know what? We are still here in America, and we ain't nowhere. We're going nowhere. Yeah. You have done everything that you could to us. You have bombed our churches in Alabama, the four little girls. You have castrated us. You have hung us. You have lynched us. You have murdered us. You have raped us. And we're still here today. We're still here today. That's why the Bible says I should not be moved like a tree planted by the water. We're not going anywhere. We built this country. Everything that everybody is sitting around here enjoying at home and when they go on vacation. A black man and a black woman invented that. Everything that you touch, just know that a black man. Listen, do you know that a black person built the toilet stool that you sit on the commode?
A black man did.
And everybody America that's a human being uses a toilet stool. But you know what? They didn't paint it black. They painted it white.
That's true. That is true. Well, the Moors helped to end the Dark Ages by showing Europeans what it is to be hygienic. They were having animals living in the same, room with them and all of this. It was the Moors that came in and showed them how sanitation is supposed to work. Show them, how you're supposed to have cleanliness and wash your hands and things like that. I mean, these are facts. These are facts. This is not fiction.
Amen.
So when they tell us how lazy we are, how dirty we are, how nasty we are, that's all in their own head. Black people have never been that way, ever. We use more hygienic soap products than probably anybody else in the world.
Well, we know that one of the greatest weapons is the psychological weapon.
Yes, sir.
So if I can tell you a lie and make you believe that lie, then that lie becomes truth to you.
That's right. Come on. That's true.
You, You know, what's interesting, Pastor Keys and Sister Eileen, is that we're dealing with a Western European educational system. If we really do our research, we will understand where the real education came from. It came from the motherland. See, they still can't figure out how our ancestors built the pyramids. See, they didn't have booms back then. So how could they make those pyramids so straight and so on point? See, because you have to be a master in math. You have to be a master in trigonometry. You have to be a in geometry. You have to be a master in algebra in order to build the pyramids the way our ancestors did. See?
They turned around.
Then they started stole a lot of the books out of and destroyed a lot of the books from the motherland. Then they said, the Europeans said, well, you know what? We're going to go ahead and we're going to create our own Western European educational system. So that's why when you look, if you go to your dictionary, right, I wish somebody had a dictionary to look this up real quick and read it for us, you will see that the word black is negative, but the word white is positive. Okay, so why would black be negative, and why would white be positive?
Right.
It's a direct attack on the black man and the black woman here in this country.
Yeah.
So when you have a European educational system that says Christopher Columbus discovered America, that's not true. He never discovered America. There were people, Native Americans was already here in America.
Indigenous people. That's
okay, but we send our children to this kangaroo education school system, right, that turns around and then turn around and make our children to think and read lies. That the understanding that it was the brown man that was already – Christopher Columbus came here as a guest. He didn't come here as the owner. The Native Americans was the owner. The Moors brought that man, that imposter over here. So our children have been programmed to think like Europeans, right?
Yes.
That's why the Freedom School, we teach real history, right? We teach real understanding about who our children are and where they come from. Unapologetic, okay?
Unapologetically
yes,
black.
Our children going to understand, you know, listen, many of you may not notice on the radio, but our own Chief Dyer of Fresno, when he was a young cop, has a picture right now of him holding a noose in his hand.
Yep.
He was a detective. Police in this city. Now, everybody know what a noose means. Am I right?
Why ain't that on social media?
A noose mean what?
Absolutely,
brother.
And it was
hanging.
Posted. Somebody did post it a
hanging.
Couple of days ago, but they took it down.
Gloria Hernandez showed it on Facebook that
she
had a noose in his hand. What was nooses used for in America?
Right.
To hang Negroes.
Right.
Huh?
That's
so
right.
Now, how can we have a chief of police with the ideology and the mind frame, right, and the heart as the head person of our police force holding a noose in his hand? And that's supposed to be acceptable.
Yeah. Oh, well. I was at a meeting recently with Maria Ells on the west side over at Maxey Parks, and Jerry Dyer got red upset when Gloria Hernandez was questioning him about a murder that happened a half a block from where we were at California and Old 41. And he got upset and said, well, there are more West Fresno is one of the safest places in the city. They have more video cameras over here than any other place in the city. So Gloria asked him, she says, well, if that's true, why can't they solve this murder? And the boy's mother, the murder boy's mother was there. And she said, I can't get any information from your staff people. And he said, well, the investigation is ongoing. And, you know, the two women that were with him, who said nothing throughout this meeting hardly unless he gave them the nod, said, well, we'll talk to you afterwards. But he was upset. He was ready to go. And I'm just wondering if Chief Dyer is so on the up and up, why doesn't he and some of his top echelon staff members come and live in Southwest Fresno if it's so safe? If it's that safe, why aren't you living over here? Everything that Gloria asked him about, he got angry, gentlemen. He got angry. And you know what his response was to Gloria when she asked about black and brown lives? He said, well, Gloria, you know I'm married to a Mexican woman. So that was supposed to give him a pass to everything that she asked him about. I mean, gentlemen, how can you respect somebody like that? Well, she's asking him direct questions, and his response is, I'm married to a Mexican. I mean, I ask.
Sad.
Sad. This is Mississippi Fresno, as the Reverend calls it. Mississippi Fresno.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think when Dr. King was ready to rest in peace, one of the things that Dr. King, what God gave him the ability, was to take the pulpit and put it on the sidewalk and take the sidewalk and put it in the pulpit.
Mm.
So King had two platforms to speak from. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as me being an international civil rights leader and a pastor in the same capacity as Dr. King, what gets throws up in my face is, well, you're mixing church and state together. But I find it interesting that when politicians run for office, the church is the first place they come to, the black church.
Yep.
That's
correct. To massage the pastor to give him some chicken and watermelon. And tell him to go have a Coke and a smile and sit down and don't say nothing. See, Dr. King wasn't that type of minister. Dr. King was a minister who believed in accountability for all people. Dr. King was someone who was advocating as a young man to advocate against police brutality. Dr. King was someone who started the Poor People's Campaign. He was against the Vietnam War. He was against.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's why they killed him. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. He was against environmental racism. These are the things that Dr. King was against. But I asked a question to America today. What are we really doing today? What are we really doing today? Why is our black people so dysfunctional? Why are they so in a messed up state of mind? How come we don't have any black businesses in the black community here in Fresno? Where's our economic development here in Fresno?
Oh, well, they'll tell you, Reverend, that it's coming. You know, they're going to tell you that TCC money, that $70 million that they already had carved up is coming. That the high-speed rail is coming, that the new City College campus is coming, and that's supposed to solve all our problems. You know, a lot of people don't remember, or they may remember, redevelopment in the 70s that wiped out most of the black businesses on the west side, came in and wiped them out, and they also got a lot of people's houses because they couldn't be brought up to code. The people didn't have the money. Now, people don't want to talk about redevelopment, but redevelopment happened. I was in junior high and high school when that was going on. And so now we're left with nothing, and we're looking around like we have no amenities on the west side. We don't even have a dry cleaners. We don't have a sit-down restaurant other than the one we were discussing earlier tonight at the meeting. You know, there's nothing like, we don't have a movie theater. We don't have a roller rink. I mean, the only fast food restaurants that are in Southwest West Fresno are at the corner of Fresno and C. The brand names I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the mom and pop ones. So our children are looking around like, my goodness, well, what is out here for me? You got the public housing right in front of Edison High School and on the side of Edison High School, the projects. So what do our children have to look at to say, okay, I aspire to be this? That's why everybody wants to be NFL football players and NBA basketball players. They see that as their only ticket when we already know that the odds are against them for that. So what is it? So when Pastor Keys is talking about these officers in blackface entrapping black people in their own neighborhoods, yeah, they feel that they can do it because black people are not going to say a mumbling word about it. That's
I was just surprised that the officers survived that, because I'm from the East Coast originally, and crack dealers that sell fake dope don't live very long.
Mm. I hear you. But they felt that they could go in our neighborhood and do that.
Yeah.
So they were just trying to collect black bodies to put in the prison system, which is a new form of slavery in this country. Our children who are having behavior problems in school, they sliding right from school into juvenile hall into the prison system. And this is not all about gangbanging. No, this is not about gangbanging. This is about how our children are classified in school as behavior problems. They just had it on Facebook today that white teachers are three times as likely to expel and punish black students as they are white. Three times.
Yes, yes.
So our black boys and girls, who's standing in the gully for them? It's terrible. It is terrible. It's terrible. And we as a community going to have to stand up and fight the way our grandparents and our ancestors fought. Otherwise, there is no future for our children.
You know, Sister Eileen, I like to pose a question on the table right now, because it is Black History Month, and we want to say happy Black History to everyone. We just want to give a disclaimer that Black History is 365 days, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Every second of the day is Black History Day. We highlight Black History today, more so during this month. But we need to highlight it every month, not just this month, just as well as Kwanzaa. The seven principles of Kwanzaa should be taught every day of the year. The question that I want to pose right now on the table to our radio listeners, those who are listening in archive, those who are just tuning in, kicking back on the couch. Pastor Keys, what do we need to do, Sister Eileen, to get our clergy more engaged in the social justice realm pattern, the blueprint that Dr. King made? Have we gotten to the place where we just don't care anymore? Is it that there's a lot of fear? We're scared to lose what we have? I mean, if we look at the teachings of Jesus Christ, he spoke truth to power.
Amen.
You know, when things wasn't right in the temple, he said, "You turn my house into a house of thievery, hell,
den of thieves." Amen.
And he came in and he turned over tables because he was saying, you know, I'm a person of structure. I'm a person of organization. I'm a person of discipline. And you come in my house. So I'm using a house as the community right now. We have churches right now 2 minutes from each other in the community. And we have pastors don't even talk to one another. Two minutes from each other. I know situations right now where this church is two blocks from each other, and the pastors ain't even talked in 40, 50 years. But yet we want to tell the gangbanger, we want to tell the gangbanger, you need to stop banging, but we religious gangbangers.
My Lord.
I mean, so, you know,
I'm going to let the pastor go first on
just,
that one.
I'm just keeping it real right now because, to me, that's hypocrisy that we tell young folk, and I understand they don't need to be killing each other. But it's one thing that I will argue. I know that gangs, their behavior, if it's done in a negative way, now, cause let's understand the police has the biggest gang in America.
All right, now.
Legal gang to kill. But my point is, gang members have more unity than the church today.
You're right.
I mean, I know people probably say, wait a minute now. I know this preacher just said, no, I am saying because they do. They have more unity. I'm not talking about the actions they do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at them for what they're worth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They take care of one another. They support each other.
Yes.
But what can we say for the church today? How can we say, when I see pastors don't even talk to one another, you can't even come under a tree and have a glass of water together and talk about, hey, how can we build God's kingdom to be the best with excellence?
Well, let me just say this from a congregational standpoint, because that's, you know, where I'm at. You know, I was brought up at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Reverend Harris knows my history over there. My sisters and I were baptized. You couldn't throw out dishwater without hitting a reed coming into or out of the church. My mother was in everything. The auxiliary, the usher board, she was in the choir. She did it all. And they built that church from the ground up. Sold Dennis to buy it, to build the church after they bought the land. So what I'm saying is this. I remember a time when if you had any problems in your life, work, family, children, whatever, you went to your pastor first and talk to your pastor, and the pastor will offer you help and advice. Nowadays, you don't see that happening, and part of the issue, I think, is that we don't have any young people in the church. You have a lot of elders. Well, you might have some babies, but you don't have any young people in the church, and the young people are not going because I think they don't see nothing there for them. The gangs, whether it's a negative connotation or not, the gangs are their family because the gangs show that they care. The gangs are there for them. The gangs listen to them, and they provide support for them. And that is something that the church needs to think about from a social point of view, to have the counseling, to have if you need clothing, if you need food, whatever you need, the church needs to be there for you. And there are churches I know in the Bay Area, like Glide Memorial, that do all of that. And I heard that Glide was even trying to get a legal clinic started. Allen Temple in Oakland, where I used to live, they have their own senior village that they built. When I was there going as a church member, they were just getting started. That was like 35 years ago. Now it's built and people are living in it. So I think it's time for reflection for black churches in Fresno. The last time I counted, there were 25 black churches in Southwest Fresno, and it might be more now. 25. That's a lot of power, gentlemen. That's a lot. So I'm gonna be quiet now, but I'm just saying that, you know, church used to be everything for a lot of us, everything.
Yeah, and because of economics, those church doors are closing every day. Pastors are leaving the pulpit when there's no money to support the structure of the church. I mean, bills have to be paid.
Yes.
Lights, air. This is Fresno. We need air in the summertime. Well, that costs.
Oh, yes.
And when the economics is spread toward the other side and blacks are not included, then there is no money that we can give to support our churches. And so that brings me to this. We need to start looking at what we can do to employ our young people. They need jobs.
They
want to have money. They want to have homes. They want to have cars, and they have families. But have you went out and tried to get a job lately? And have you seen how few black that there are out there working? Well, that tells you something. And so we need to start focusing on the economics and try to get our young people to work so that they won't have to participate in some of this negative activities that take place, because it really is all about money. It's all about the mighty dollar.
Right.
We need it.
I agree with you, Pastor.
Yes.
Harris,
I would hate to be a young person.
Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I would hate to be a young person.
Trying to. Yes.
Nowadays, and be growing up and not have money to go to the movies and do the things that I did when I was coming up. You know, it didn't take a whole lot. But nowadays, you got to have a job.
You got to have a job.
And if you're a young man and you're trying to date a young woman and you don't have a job, well, you really don't have a chance at her if she's raised
right. That's true. You're right. When you're right, you're right. Yeah, Fresno has always been a town where you really need to have transportation. And to have transportation, you need a car. And, to have a car, you need a job.
Exactly.
You know, you need a job. So, you know, you're absolutely right. This is one of the things we try to teach the kids at Freedom School, not just the importance of understanding that you're going to have to work hard. And they get that when they're doing their planting and maintaining and harvesting their crops. And then they have their farmer's market, and they see the direct correlation between work and money. You know, and we have explained to them that agriculture in Fresno is it $60 billion in Fresno County, Reverend? I believe it's $60 billion.
Yeah.
$60 billion industry in Fresno County, and the kids' ears perked up, Pastor Keys, because we tell them it's not just about getting your hands dirty in the field. There's agribusiness, there's marketing, there's all sorts of different industries that plug into agriculture. And so, you know, we've had children go through Freedom School and are now on historical black college campuses getting their undergraduate and graduate degrees. So it is possible to do something better, but it's up to the adults to make sure that they're on that right path. And so somewhere along the way, the ball have got dropped, because faith needs to be in that, and that's on the adults. Some kind of way we drop the ball. It's not the children's fault. It's our fault.
Yeah. Pastor Harris, before I leave the air, when can we or can we still come over and get some of them greens? Are y'all, you got any more greens over there?
Pastor, I'm getting ready to bring the tractor and call King Kong to come in and plow it all up. So you better get over there tomorrow and bring you some garbage bags. I ain't talking about them little store bags you get at Foodless. I'm talking about some garbage 55-gallon bags. To get over there and get you some greens and collards, some broccoli, and some kale. We had cauliflower. We got mustard greens. We got curly mustard greens. You better get over there tomorrow and get your back your truck up there and load up.
Okay, for the local people, give us that address and what time will be best to get over there.
Well, you can come by in the evening time. about 5 o'clock, or you can come around 1 o'clock. Just call me, and I can meet you over there.
Okay, for the local people, can you give us the address?
Well, we don't want to give out the address, but just call me.
Oh, I understand. I understand. I do have your card.
See, me, I'm ready to give out the address, see, but this is a businessman over here, right?
I understand.
All right.
So you will see me. You will see me tomorrow, Lord willing.
Yes, yes, sir.
Those are some good mustard greens.
Oh yeah, yeah. We just want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. Go to my Facebook, Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. Go to my Facebook. Go to YouTube and look at type in Dr. Harris. Type in Reverend Harris, Floyd Harris Jr., and look at all of the different videos and movements I've done over the past 34 years. Do a Google search on my name. Read up on my resume. See that I speak truth to power, walking in God's footsteps, shadowing Dr. King, shadowing all of the freedom fighters here that has passed on. God is rising new leadership now to speak truth to power. And so this is not a fight that you can be scared into fight. You got to have backbone. You got to your sleeves. You got to get on the edge of your seat, but you got to do it wise.
You know, right
so
now.
We just, and we just want to be able to just, you know, come in tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday, I believe. We should be having Crystal Joyce, her show tomorrow. A young sister who's doing a lot of good work in the Black community. She has a ministry. I believe she goes to Free AME Church, and Pastor Keys them. Ministry, and so we just want to thank everybody tonight. Thank you, Arlene, for running the show to board. I couldn't get online tonight.
No problem.
But thank you for taking the time out, and I'll say hotep, and I'll say good night to everybody.
Good night.
All right. Good night, sir.